This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Recession or not? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, June 20th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Economists are significantly boosting the likelihood of a recession, but what actually defines one? We'll have an explanation.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says a gas tax holiday is worth considering, but a former Treasury Secretary says it's just a gimmick.
Another round of scorching temperatures in the forecast to start the week. The so-called heat dome is moving east.
And the number of students who say they dropped out of college because of mental health challenges.
A significant portion, 14%, this is not something to sneeze at, actually say that mental health challenges were the main reason they didn't finish college, which is crazy to really consider.
Megan Lenhart at Fortune on factors making college more challenging. Authorities in Washington, D.C. say a 15-year-old boy was killed and a police officer was among three other people who were injured when someone opened fire in a crowd after an unpermitted music gathering last night. The shooting took place near 14th and U Streets Northwest in a popular area filled with stores, restaurants, and bars. The area played host to Mochella, a free concert celebrating Juneteenth. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
We have a child who was killed today at an event that did not have any proper planning for the number of people who are here and with guns involved.
Mochella celebrates go-go, which is a genre of music that originated and is still popular in Washington. The event is widely known in music circles, and it was mentioned in the city's alternative weekly newspaper, City Paper, on Thursday. The D.C. Housing Finance Agency, a federal entity, is featured on a Mochella flyer as a supporter. A spokesperson for the agency did not immediately respond to NBC News for a comment. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says federal policymakers should consider a temporary gasoline tax holiday to ease the burden of soaring fuel prices. Ms. Yellen's comments on ABC's This Week come as several states, including Connecticut and Maryland, have completed plans to temporarily halt gasoline taxes at the state level.
Production has gone down. Refinery capacity has declined in the United States, and oil production has declined.
In Congress, efforts to temporarily stop collecting the 18.4 cents a gallon have not gained traction. Harvard University's Lawrence Summers, a former Treasury Secretary, criticized the idea as a gimmick that you eventually have to reverse. He told NBC's Meet the Press that meaningful steps to address inflation would include lowering drug prices by giving Medicare the power to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. The national average, by the way, this morning for a gallon of regular is $4.98. A year ago, it was $3.07. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With inflation high, the Fed raising interest rates, stock markets in bear territory, and growing concerns over stagflation, recession is yet another economic worry to add to the list. Though recessions can be painful and scary, they are a natural feature of the economy, so don't panic. Josh Mitchell, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, put together what we should know. Josh, help us out.
What most economists around the world consider a recession is when output, or gross domestic product, falls for two consecutive quarters, or 6 months. And so, but that's really loose, you know, and in the United States, a lot of news organizations like ours, as well as a lot of policymakers, defer to a group called the National Bureau of Economic Research. This is an academic group, and they don't use that As they don't use that definition of what a recession is. They actually look at a range of data, whether it's consumer spending, retail sales, output, employment growth. They look at all of these stats to show whether economic activity, which again is a broad, you know, force, has fallen over a significant period of time. And so basically it's left up to this group that meets every so often. Once they think a recession has occurred, they'll wait for, you know, up to 4 months or maybe even 24 months or what have you, to look to do a retroactive look at whether there was in fact an economic downturn.
Do bear markets offer any kind of window into where we're headed or where we are?
They often can, but again, you know, when you're talking about the stock market, that has to do with what the value of companies are. And so, you know, the short answer is no. Just because there's a bear market, that does not mean that we're automatically in an economic downturn. But it is often a sign that we could be in one, but it does not automatically mean that we are in one. For example, in 1987, there was a stock market crash, and yet the economy continued to grow. So it's not always the case that a bear market indicates that we're in a downturn.
We're speaking with Josh Mitchell, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called "What is a Recession and Are We in One Now?" I guess I addressed the question in the headline of the piece. Are we in one now? Or we might not know for a long time, I guess.
Again, it's one of those things where we won't really officially know whether we're in one until this group of economists meets somewhere down the road. But there is a lot of speculation as to whether we're in one or whether we're headed into one. For example, in the first quarter of this year, output did drop. And it looks very likely that output in the quarter that we're currently in could be flat. Which means the U.S. is really close to having a second consecutive quarter of a decline in output or gross domestic product. So if that happens, a lot of people say, okay, well, yes, that probably means that we're in a downturn. But again, it's left to these economists that will ultimately make that call probably next year or so.
And history tells us what? There's roughly one every 6 years?
Right. Since 1948, I think, there's been about 12 downturns and, yeah, one about every 6 years.
And then how about the difference between, say, a recession and a depression, which you touched on?
A depression is a more severe type of recession. And this group, this academic group, doesn't really distinguish, one from the other. I don't think anyone thinks that we're anywhere close to a Great Depression, but the big question is, you know, are we headed toward a downturn? It looks like, you know, the one interesting thing is a lot of people, if you look at polls, a lot of people think we are already in a downturn, but the labor market is still pretty strong. That's what's really crazy right now, is people feel like we're in really tough times, and in one sense we are. Inflation is far higher than wage increases, so people are seeing their real wages, their inflation-adjusted wages, go down. But still, like, the GDP still continues to grow based on what we know. And so even though you can feel like, you know, times are tough, the stats as of now say that the economy still continues to grow.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Mitchell, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. By the way, be sure to follow us on social media, including our newly updated Instagram page. You can find us on the gram at This Morning with Gordon Deal. Coming up next, more heat to start the week.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. A large portion of the country, stretching from Texas to the Dakotas, is expected to face another round of scorching temperatures through today. Hard as it is to believe, it could be hotter than last week's heat wave. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The National Weather Service says the Central Plains are expected to see highs in the 90s and low hundreds, with a heat index that could reach up to 110. More than 15 million people in the northern and central plains were under heat alerts yesterday, with temps as much as 25 degrees above average in the middle of the country. Starting today, the heat dome is expected to move across the Mississippi Valley and the Mid-South. By tomorrow, it will shift to the Great Lakes and the Ohio and Tennessee valleys, and then into the southeast. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Among the many ongoing long-term blazes in the West, by the way, one stands out as sort of a zombie thriving on heat, oxygen, and fuel, and that's Utah's Left Fork Fire. It started May 9 when a prescribed burn got out of control and grew to an estimated 100 acres. After two cleanups, it came to life a third time on Saturday and grew to some 700 acres. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
If you're flying today, make sure you check with your carrier as travel issues continue to pile up across the country. Weekend flight delays and cancellations topped 10,000, with airlines again blaming staffing shortages and bad weather. This man's family made their way to Tampa after having no luck flying out of Orlando.
We had to get a hotel room in Tampa. We had to extend our rental car. We had to get new flights over here. So making everything jive together and make, you know, all the timing work out has been a little bit stressful.
Experts expect travel woes to continue through the rest of the year.
Number two.
The CDC is recommending that children as young as 6 months receive newly authorized COVID-19 shots, the final step to making the vaccines available. As soon as today, children under 5 can start getting inoculated. The CDC says they should receive either the 2-dose series from Moderna or the 3-dose series from Pfizer.
Number three.
Ukraine intensified artillery and missile strikes against the Russian-controlled parts of the Donbas region, targeting weapons depots and military bases in an effort to stall the Russian offensive, while Moscow unleashed new salvos of long-range missiles, some of them shot down by air defenses on cities across Ukraine. The city of Donetsk, the biggest in Russian-controlled Donbas this weekend, came under the worst artillery barrages since the conflict in eastern Ukraine began in 2014. Yellowstone National Park will partially reopen to visitors on Wednesday after heavy rains and floods damaged hundreds of miles of land and forced the park to close. Entrances to the south loop of the park will open Wednesday morning to a limited number of visitors. Yellowstone was hit with the unprecedented amounts of rainfall that sparked dramatic floods and rock slides.
Buzz Lightyear mission log, Stardate 3901. After a full year of being marooned, our first hyperspeed test flight is a go.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
You were narrating again.
I was not.
Fewer families than expected this weekend went to see Lightyear, underscoring the challenge of winning big audiences in a summer crowded with movie blockbusters. Lightyear posted box office sales of $51 million in North America. The movie, which depicts the origin story of Buzz Lightyear, the toy Space Ranger from the Toy Story movies, is the first Pixar film to be shown in theaters in more than 2 years.
I just sort of thought with the scorching temperatures, more people would go see a movie.
Seeing other movies.
Oh,
the dinosaur movie and
that's right. I forgot
Top
that too.
Stuff, yeah.
As you said, a lot of competition. Thanks, Jen. At least one report says class reunions are back. The Wall Street Journal says reunion planning companies are seeing an influx of interest from alumni groups. If you get an invite and decide to go, here are some things to keep in mind from networking expert Ivan Meisner. Ivan, give us guidance.
Well, I think it's important to think about how you introduce yourself to your friends. Well, you know, what did they're going to want to know. So what are you doing? And, you know, the whole idea of the old elevator pitch idea, never do an elevator pitch in the elevator. The idea with an elevator pitch is to just have a short description of what it is that you do. And the most important thing with that is to talk about the afters. The afters are, you know, when you do what you do, what's it going to look like after? And when you're talking to people, one last thought on this is pass the eyebrow test. My friend Sam Horn calls it the eyebrow test when you tell people what you do. If somebody's eyebrows scrunch down, you've confused them. Mm. If they go up, you've got their attention.
I like it. How about some of the basics? You open the door, you enter, let's say, a big banquet room or whatever. You're by yourself. and it seems like everybody already is chatting in a small group. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, one of the things you want to do is look for open twos, open threes, and open groups. And open two, imagine that you have a God view and you're looking down on the room. A closed two would be two people standing perpendicular to each other. A closed three would be like a triangle looking down. What you want to look for are open twos, open threes, open groups. People that looking down from above, it would be like a V for Victor. They're standing askew a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or an open three would be like a U, so that you can just slip right in and start talking to the people that you know. And even if you didn't know them real well, you could slip into those groups and start a conversation. People you know might also be standing around by themselves. You can also go and talk to them. But look for open twos, open threes, and open groups.
How about those first words out of your mouth as you walk up, though? Hi, I'm so-and-so, or hey, what are you up to? Like,
I would be honest. It's great to see you again. And, you know, catch me up. What have you been doing? How are things going?
We're speaking with Ivan Meisner, networking expert, also founder of BNI, the big networking organization. We're talking about how to put your best foot forward at a class reunion. What should you not do?
Well, you know, I think you don't want to get too personal too quickly, especially with people that you didn't know well. You got to use contextual intelligence here. So how well you knew them in school should determine how deep you go in a conversation. And if you knew each other well, it's okay to get more personal than if you barely knew them. And, you know, stay away from the spiked punch. Don't get drunk. Don't get drunk at any event. As a rule of thumb, it's dumb to get drunk at a reunion.
Thanks, Ivan. Ivan Meisner, networking expert. By the way, if you've missed anything, be sure to check out a podcast of today's show. It's available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, June 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Treasury Secretary says a gas tax holiday is worth considering as the price at the pump remains high. The heat wave baking the plains is moving east. Flyers still scrambling this morning after thousands of flights were canceled or delayed this weekend. Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal say the probability of a recession in the next 12 months has risen sharply. Matt Fitzpatrick captured the U.S. Open at Brookline by a stroke over Will Zalatoris. And the young guy who's a dad to millions on TikTok. That story in about 20 minutes. As you know, college has never been easy, but throw in a pandemic and things become even more challenging. About 26% of students who started college in 2019, for example, did not return to school the next year during the pandemic. While there are many reasons why, it turns out a significant portion cite mental health challenges as a major factor. Here's Megan Lenhart, senior writer at Fortune. Megan, explain.
It's one of those situations where I think we all know that some folks don't complete college for for a myriad of reasons. And of course, the big ones being, you know, that they underwent a life change or they struggled financially. But a new report from Sallie Mae actually finds that a significant portion, 14%, this is not something to sneeze at, actually say that mental health challenges were the main reason they didn't finish college, which is crazy to really consider.
Now, I guess those mental health issues could be brought on by financial stress, right, in part.
They absolutely could be brought on by financial challenges and struggles. Certainly, the report did find that many times the students who were dealing with these mental health issues were ones that, of course, are probably more vulnerable. They come from lower income backgrounds. They are first generation college students. You know, those kind of things that make college and really surviving and adapting to that environment more challenging and quite frankly, a bigger hurdle heading into it.
I'm sure this gets asked a lot of times and it's studied a lot, but from, say, when I was in school or from when you were in school, is it the same problem and just more people are reporting it, or are we actually in a worsening state of mental health?
When it comes to mental health these days, I think that it's a little bit of a lot of things. So certainly I do think, as a society, the stigma around mental health and seeking help for those suffering from mental health challenges is easing off a little bit, particularly for younger generations. So they are sitting there and raising their hands more and saying, yes, I am dealing with this and I do want help. But I also think there's a decent body of research out there that shows that this newest generation, Gen Z, you know, who are going into college and who are, you know, entering the workforce now as young professionals, are actually, you know, saying that they're actually seeing a little bit more prevalence around these issues. And particularly, I think the pandemic didn't help any of this. I think you look at most of the studies out there, and Americans across the board, no matter how old they are, have said that, you know, their mental health has taken a hit because of the pandemic. And maybe that's all because we became hermits for 2 years.
Yeah.
But I also think, too, that you have a little bit of a pressure cooker situation for college students in particular. So many of those that are in college currently really had a weird high school experience because of the pandemic, yeah, or had a weird early college experience because of the pandemic. And then, you know, this is when you're on your own for the first time and you have to deal with these challenges usually on your own. Certainly college has support systems. It's a little bit more of a safety net than when you get out to the professional environment, but it is a little bit of a challenge. And sometimes it's hard to know when to reach out for help. I think there's a really big gap between I'm struggling and I need to call the National Suicide Hotline. So sometimes making those judgment calls, and particularly for mental health, which kind of is a little bit cyclical and episodic, can be very, very challenging to kind of help self-diagnose yourself.
We're speaking with Megan Lenhart, senior writer at Fortune. Her story is called 14% of Students Say They Dropped Out of College Because of Mental Health Challenges. So I'm getting kind of a little bit into more math stuff, but of the 14%, who dropped out because of mental health challenges, like more than half of those in that group were freshmen, right? So
yes,
there's something happening in that first year, it seems.
I do think the first year is very critical for college students because that is not only the time where you're entering this new environment, but you also tend to make your friends that potentially may carry you through not only your college experience, but later in life. You know, many times you're living in a very different situation than when you grew up. I don't know about you, but I definitely didn't have to share a bedroom growing up, and having a roommate for the first time was definitely a challenge for me.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, senior writer at Fortune. Coming up next, the Mic Drop.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, after a busy and chaotic weekend of travel around the country, we have some plane etiquette, or lack thereof, to talk about this morning. We all know that getting up to use the restroom during a flight when you're in the middle or window seat can be a pain, especially for those who have to get up to let you out. That probably doesn't doesn't mean that you should do what one passenger recently did. In a video posted by a fellow passenger on Twitter, a woman is seen hopping over the people in the aisle and middle seats to get to her window seat. The passenger named Brandon, who posted the 19-second video, said the woman did this several times during the 7-hour flight, and he was evidently not a fan, calling it, quote, the most criminal activity I've ever seen. Now, there were plenty of reactions in the comments, with some people wondering where the flight attendants were during all this. Others joked that it would have been the perfect time for the plane to experience some turbulence. Still others laughed at Brandon's overreaction, saying that if he thinks this lack of etiquette is criminal, he obviously doesn't fly much.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that I don't think she was wearing shoes. I think she was wearing socks and pajamas, so that kind of added to the whole situation.
It was kind of weird because the two guys that she climbed over didn't seem bothered by it. They didn't seem surprised, so maybe this was the sixth or seventh time that she had done it.
Yeah.
But there seemed to be like an agreement,
right? Well, I guess if you're going to get up that many times, then maybe you do strike up an agreement with the people next to you. Like, look, you know, I for whatever reason, I know I'm going to be using the restroom a lot, and maybe we should figure this out.
They didn't offer to help her, but they weren't shocked either. So there was some sort of, I don't know, we're all going to bite our tongues and not say anything here.
The people around her seem to be more, you know, kind of annoyed by it than these people right next to her.
And can we ban, please, like those fleece pajama bottoms,
right?
In public,
yeah.
They're made for like in home stuff. Enough with that. It's a bad look for the teen and young adult crowd.
Yeah, I think that again, that was part of it. I think it was all sort of part of the package is that she was sort of dressed in these pajama bottoms. She wasn't wearing any shoes.
Yeah,
you throw it all into the mix, and that's going to get, you know, anybody who's a flyer is going to get a little bit annoyed by that.
Wow.
And as the Golden State Warriors were celebrating their latest championship last week, thoughts turned to one particular Celtics fan who committed harder than probably anyone else to this year's team. Way back in March, 18-year-old Massachusetts resident Jack Bienvenu left school at Cape Cod Technical High School and dropped into a tattoo parlor and had a giant banner inked on his left arm that reads, "Boston Celtics 2022 World Champions." The championship, of course, didn't happen, leading to some jokes for the young fan, some joking that he might need to consider amputation. For his part, Jack isn't backing down, telling The Athletic before Game 3 of the finals that he wasn't planning on getting the tattoo lasered off if the team lost, and left open the possibility that he could have just the last two changed to a 3 if the team wins it all next year.
Okay, so what if he, say, had won a video game in which his Boston Celtics in the video game had won the NBA championship.
I see.
Then it kind of legitimizes it.
I mean, perhaps to him, but not to anyone else in the entire world who sees the tattoo on his left arm.
That is weird.
But I hear what you're saying.
People who do this, man, that's a weird thing.
18-year-olds, Gordon. Those are the type of people who do these kind of things. 18-year-olds, college students, they're the ones normally who do this kind of thing.
Thank you, Mike.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Why does the price of a gallon of gas always end in 9/10 of a cent on stations' price boards? No other retailers advertise their prices like that. CNN says it may seem unusual or even unnecessary, but there's a long history and a subtle marketing strategy to it. Fractional prices first appeared in the early 20th century as states began implementing sales taxes on gas to help build and maintain highways. But why not just charge a full cent? Well, at the time, the average cost of gas was around 10 cents a gallon, so adding a cent was a big deal, especially for drivers strapped for cash during the Great Depression. In 2006, a guy named Jim Davis, a gas station owner in Palo Alto, California, dropped the fraction of a penny and rounded his prices down. He said it cost him about $23 a day. Setting prices ending in 99 cents, by the way, known as just below pricing, is a common marketing tool used to make consumers feel like they're getting a deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she expects the U.S. economy to slow in the months ahead, but that a recession is not inevitable. Yellen on ABC offered a dose of optimism, even as economists grow increasingly worried about a recession.
The labor market has recovered and we have reached full employment. It's natural now that we expect a transition to steady and stable growth.
Yellen also expressed an openness to a federal gas tax holiday to help give motorists some relief at the pump. The tax is 18.4 cents per gallon.
Number two.
The heat dome that scorched the Central Plains over the weekend is expected to push eastward today, bringing dangerously hot conditions across the Mississippi River Valley and Mid-South regions. Temperatures will be in the 90s from the Great Lakes south to the Gulf Coast early in the week. Cities including Chicago and St. Louis could see triple digits again by tomorrow.
Number three.
A 15-year-old boy was killed and a police officer was among three other people who were injured when someone opened fire in a crowd after an unpermitted music gathering last night in Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Conti.
The police officer is recovering from an area at an area hospital. Two of the victims also recovering at an area hospital. One victim at this point, a juvenile victim, it appears that juvenile is deceased at this point.
Conti says the attack was the work of one person. French President Emmanuel Macron has lost his majority in the National Assembly, delivering a blow to the French leader's pro-business agenda and positioning leaders on the far left and far right to wield unprecedented influence. Macron's party and its allies won 245 seats in the 577-seat National Assembly. That gives him the most seats in France's lower house, but not enough to retain the majority that allowed him to steamroll the opposition during his first term. Although Juneteenth was Sunday, like other federal holidays that fall on a weekend, the official observance shifts to the neighboring weekday, meaning today is a holiday. Post offices, non-essential government offices, and the stock market is closed. Juneteenth commemorates the events of June 19, 1865 in Galveston, Texas, when the last black enslaved people of the Confederacy were ordered free following the arrival of Union troops.
All right, thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. Summer Clayton may not have children in real life, but he's a proud dad to about 2.8 million people on TikTok. This is a Father's Day Monday kind of story. CNN says every week he sits down to dinner and a virtual chat with his so-called kids. He looks into the camera with empathy and tells them he's proud of them. Some days he prays with them. He teaches them how to shave. Mr. Clayton, a civilian fitness trainer at Columbus Air Force Base in northeastern Mississippi, is not a therapist or a life coach. He's also only 26, has no kids of his own. Here's how the videos sound.
We are having sushi today. How are you? Yeah? Okay. Well, hey, give me one good thing that happened today and one challenging thing.
To some, his one-way conversations may seem silly, but his TikTok videos have struck a chord. He's part of a growing cadre of online surrogate dads, including Rob Kenny, who's part of a YouTube series called Dad, How Do I? That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.